Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. We glory to God. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify your name tonight for your goodness and for your loving kindness. Lord God, we stretch our hands to thee because you are our help tonight. You are our strength. You are our hope, Lord. You are everything. We love you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. Lord, we lift your name on high. For there is none like you, Lord. There is nobody like you, Jesus. You've shown yourself strong and mighty in our lives, in our homes, in our situations. God, we thank you. Oh, God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for the anointing that destroys the yoke. We glorify your name on today. We magnify you, Lord, as we go into your word on tonight. Lead us and guide us. Speak to the hearts and minds of your people everywhere in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, and we bless you, and we give you all that's due thee. That is the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, bless his name. I dare you to just begin to magnify the Lord and to begin to glorify him, to begin to thank him, amen, for what he's already done. Begin to thank him and magnify him for what he's doing now. Amen. And even though you don't see it with the natural eye, even though it don't feel like it, I dare you to begin to just thank him for what he's going to do. Oh, God, we bless your name tonight. We thank and we praise you. On tonight, we thank and praise God for his grace and his mercy. Thank you to magnifying God because he's been good to us and he's brought us, amen, up until this point in time. We're not going to bore your patience. We're just grateful to God for what he's done and for what he's doing, amen, in our lives and with us in our ministries, amen, and through us. Amen. Due to the lives of others, we're grateful. Amen. Amen. We thank you for tuning in to the Mind of Christ Covenant broadcast. We're magnifying God for greater things. We're looking for greater things and mighty things. Amen. On this year, we're expecting God to do some wonderful things, not just for us, but through us, that we may be a blessing. Amen. To his people. Amen. And be better builders in the kingdom on tonight, the kingdom of God. And we thank God tonight. Quickly to the word of God. Go to the book of Acts, a very familiar passage of scripture. Amen. In the book of Acts, a very familiar story. Amen. That we are aware of, heard, I'm sure we've heard, preached on many occasions. Amen. But we thank God tonight for this word, oh God. Amen. Coming to us. Amen. And to give us life, to give us hope. Amen. To give us a strength and encouragement to let us know that we're going to make it. Amen. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. Amen. We're going to make it. We're going to come out all right. Amen. That we are already victorious, that we already have the hand of the Lord on our lives. And for this, we are grateful, and we do magnify his name. Amen. The book of Acts, amen, this particular passage of scripture, amen, we find here, and it reads as thus. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was about the ninth hour. The ninth hour was somewhere around like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried there, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And they laid him there to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Amen. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, talking about Peter now, Peter fixing his eyes on the gentleman, along with John with him, Peter said, "Look at us," or "look on us." Amen. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give it you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that this was the man who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Just a thought tonight, the leap of faith. The leap of faith. Amen. The leap of faith. And I ask you, if you could, to write down just for a sub-thought on tonight, ask yourself. You don't have to ask no one else. You don't have to touch your neighbor. But ask yourself, what do you have? Or in the terms of the street language, if you will, lingo, what you got? Ask yourself, what you got? Mm-hmm. We find here Peter and John, as they do on the regular basis, the Bible says, that their daily routine was to go to the temple to pray. Amen. They had dedicated themselves to the ministry of the gospel and spreading the good news. So when you are in the gospel or when you're in the ministry, when you have given your life to Christ, it is imperative, it is important that you set aside some time for the Lord. It's funny that we can make time for Instagram. We can make time for Facebook. We can make time for TikTok. We can make time to get on the phone. We can make time for friends. We even make time for frenemies, for those that don't care for us. We waste time, and we'll make time just to deal with somebody. We'll take time or waste time or make room just to give someone a piece of our mind, just to get someone told, as the old folks say, to get you told. Uh-huh. But do we take the time or do we make time to pray? We'll make time. We'll make time to rip and run up and down the streets. We'll make time to go be in other folks' business. We'll make time to go and try to find out if someone is doing something against us, lying on us, cheating on us, or robbing us, or what have you. We'll make time to go and to search out these other things. But do we make time to pray? Yeah. We'll make time to sit and watch TV for our special or certain programs that we like. We have set alarms on our phone. This new age with these Androids and these iPhones now, we make time and we'll set alarms to let us know when certain programs or certain things or functions are going to take place, and we will make time to go and to support or to be a part of or to watch or take notes or to be in it. But do we make time to pray? Here we find Peter and John. The Bible says that they set time out in their day, and they would go to have prayer in the temple. Prayer is something that is very essential and important for the believer. You don't have to hold a position to pray. You don't have to be in any type of position to have a prayer life. I remember early in my ministry or early on in my life with Christ, my salvation, when I first got saved, amen, I enjoyed to be around the older saints. Some would shun that and would want to be around folk their age and young folk and hang out and talk the talk and the lingo and do those things. But I was one, I enjoyed being around the older saints, the older believers, because I knew that there were jewels that they had that they were going to drop at any given time. I knew that there were things of wisdom and knowledge and experience that they have that they could drop on me at any given time that would help me in my walk. You see, it's all right to hang out with individuals your age and to talk to individuals your age and to compare notes and share notes and ideas and thoughts on going through certain situations. But it's another thing to have someone who's already been there and done that, someone who's already experienced things and have experience under their belt, and not just experience, but the knowledge and wisdom of God, who walked with the Lord and who can tell you what it is to go through that thing and what it means to come out. Yes, indeed, and it's very important. So I would hang around certain individuals that had a prayer life, and because of that, it caused me to, by me being around them, to develop a prayer life. And because of that, it allowed me to enter into places with the Lord that others my age or even older did not enter in. It put me at a place in God that others were not even close to, because they were not in the prayer chamber or the face of the Lord, crying out and crying and praying before the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And it caused, of course, enemies and jealousy and animosity with older ones that had been saved for a while, or those that were older than me that were saved, who felt that I was too young and didn't know nothing and I shouldn't have no more power, no more ability or strength than them. But it wasn't that I went in my own strength and might, but it was in the power of the Lord, because I prayed and I developed a prayer life. But here we find Paul, Peter, and John, the Bible says, that went to the temple to pray. And because of their prayer life, they were able to talk to and witness to this man on a different level. Uh-huh. See, if there would have been someone who didn't have a prayer life, who was passing by the temple, or someone, by say, just started new praying and hadn't been praying and hadn't had a prayer life on a consistent basis, they would have answered or responded in a different way. Uh-huh. They would have, might have been in the carnal, in the flesh, and could have responded or answered this man in the flesh, which could have messed up the whole thing and the process of this man getting what he needed from the Lord. So because of their prayer life and them going to the prayer of the in the synagogue and praying on a consistent basis at a certain time of the day, the Bible says that the family of this man would take him there on a daily basis and lay him there at the door. Uh-huh. And as they laid him there at the door, all he knew to do was ask alms for his condition, because he was not able to work and to go about and do as normal or regular people would do. And so because they laid him there, and this is what his routine was, the Bible says that Peter and John on this particular day were on their way into the temple. And when they were on their way into the temple, this young man began to ask them a question. Mm-hmm. And he asked them alms. He asked, "Can you help me out, sirs? Excuse me, sirs, young men, young men of God, brothers, friends. I see you going in and to the temple, and could you share some of what you have with me? I know that you possibly have an offering or a gift to bring to the temple, to help the temple out, but can you help me out? Can you bless me? Can you assist me? I you see my condition, and you see the state I'm in, and I'm not able to work and to fend for myself and to make my own, but you see where I'm at. Can you assist me? Can you help me in my present state and condition?" And he said, "I was asking alms of them. Can you give me some money to help me out?" Paul, Peter, and John said, looked at him, and the Bible says that when the man looked on them, that they fastened their eyes on the man. I could just imagine Peter in his mind, in his spirit, as he fastened his eyes on the man, no doubt Peter began to pray in his spirit. If you just allow me, if you will, just to imagine this thing. And I can imagine Peter as he stopped, as he was on his way into the temple, and he stopped and to respond to this man's cry or this man's plea. And he fastened his eyes on the man, and I could just imagine Peter praying in his spirit man and begin to go into the spirit realm and asking the Lord, "What shall I say and what shall I do? How shall I handle this situation with this man?" The spirit, I just believe in my heart that the spirit of the Lord began to deal with Peter. Peter being the spokesman, and he said, "Silver and gold, my brother, have we none? Silver and gold have we none. But what we do have, we'll give that to you, what we do have." Now, like I said, if they hadn't been praying and had not had a prayer life, no doubt, the response would have been totally different than what it was. He said again, silver and gold have we not.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have money to give you. We don't have silver or gold to give you that can help you out of your situation or help you in your situation to come to a better place or better situation or a better position.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have, I guarantee you, what we do have will take you from where you are to a better place, will assist you not only where you are, but assist you to get from that place to a better place, what we do have. And because of the prayer life that Peter and John had, because of their prayer life and the faith of God that was working in them through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you pray, you begin confident and you gain an assurance in your walk with God. When you pray, you come to find out who you are and your place in God and what your ability, what your strengths are in God. When you pray, it opens the door for you to understand and to know that God can and God will. When you pray, it helps you to go through your tests and your struggles, which increases your faith in God yourself. And when your faith is increased and your prayer life is endowed and with power, when your prayer life is on a regular basis and you have a consistent prayer life and you're talking to God and you're constantly in the face of God, in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord begins to minister to you more and more and strengthen you more and more, you become comfortable. You become confident in your walk with God, and you become more assured of the power that abides within. And here we find Peter and John speaking from speaking from the power that abided within.
Mm-hmm.
They were speaking, from the authority that abided within, from the authority that they gained through prayer.
Uh-huh.
That power and that authority came through the prayer life that they had with Christ.
Uh-huh.
Praying on a consistent basis. And so they said, silver and gold we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have, we're going to give that to you. Peter said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by his hand and lifted him, gave him a nice little tug.
Mm-hmm.
A nice little pull, lifted him by his hand. Hey, bless God, hallelujah. And when he lifted him by his hand, the faith that was in Peter transferred and was shifted to the man.
Uh-huh.
You see, the man was there. He could have easily said, now, I just told you that I can't walk. I can't walk, and you want me to do what now? But he didn't ask him. He said, rise up and walk. And when he said that to the man, he reached down and grabbed the man by the hand. And the Bible says he lifted him by his hand, took him by and gave him a firm grip, a firm grip. And when he gave him the firm grip, he gave him a nice little tug and lifted him by his hand. And when he lifted him up by his hand, the Bible said at once, immediately, instantly, his ankles were strengthened. Uh-huh. His bones became steady, were no longer feeble or fragile. But his ankles were strengthened. His feet became normal. They could have been twisted. They could have been bit. His ankles could have been turned or weakened, or the bones could have been weakened and his legs as well. But the Bible says that when he took him by the hand and lifted him by his hand, the Bible says faith kicked in. And when faith kicked in, his ankles and his feet and his legs became strong and steady. Oh, glory to God. And when they became strong and steady, the man didn't waste time trying to figure out how, what, or where. All he knew was the place that I was in, the state that I was in, the position that I was in, the situation that I was in. I am no longer in that particular state. I am no longer in that situation. I am no longer bound by the ailments that had me bound, that had me crippled, that had me stuck in this position on a daily basis. I know where I came from. I know what I had to deal with on a daily basis. I needed my family to get up and to bring me down here. I was not able to walk or to run. I was not able to even bring myself, but they had to bring me here. But now, the silver and gold that I once asked for, I don't have to ask for anymore. Oh, bless God. Now, not only do I not have to ask for silver and gold, but I can go make my own silver and gold now. The Bible said, the man was so excited and so happy that he leaped and stood forth. He leaped and stood. And him leaping and standing, he began to walk. He said, all right now, this place that I've been laid at, this door that I've been laid for years here for so long, I'm going to go into this place that I was only able to lay at the door. I'm going to go in now. Yes, indeed. And I'm going to go in with these two brothers that assisted me and gave me what I needed. See, what I love about Peter and John, they knew what the man wanted. He wanted silver and gold, but they also knew what he needed. Prayer will give you the insight and the foresight and allow you to see past what's right there visible with the natural eye. They could have had silver and gold, or they could have had some denarii or some change, and they could have said, here, brother, and went on into the temple on their prayer, and the brother would have accepted it, no doubt, as his regular routine, as the others may have done, and going into the temple, some walking over him or stepping over him, some may have given him change or whatever, but I find it interesting that they would lay him there at the temple doors of all the places. They knew that at some point of time, somebody was going to give him some change. Some change was going to come from somebody, one of the priests or the elders or one of the worshipers that went into the synagogue to pray. Somebody was going to bless him. No doubt it had happened before. So this is the place that he's decided that I will go and be at this gate. But on this particular day, the Lord had things set and planned for this particular young man. The Lord had it all planned out for this particular young man. And this day, you will not have no need to ask for alms again, because you will be able now to go and to make your own money. You'll be able now to go and to provide for yourself. And so at this time, Peter and John, as they were going in, the young man said, I'm going in to this temple where I've been laying at this gate for years. I'm going in with you. The Bible said that he went in with them, walking and leaping and praising God. When God does something for you, I'm not understanding, and you will never get me to understand. You will never get me to go along with and agree with or even accept that when God does something for you miraculous and takes you from a present place or state of living, of being, to a higher level in your life, and he takes you from, whether it be from healing your body or whether it's from sin and shame, and he brings you out of sin and darkness into his marvelous light. I don't understand, and I don't get with how people can sit so solemnly and so pious and so quiet and not be able to give God praise for what he has done and magnify him for what he has done. If you say God did it, then why is it hard for you to open your mouth and to magnify him and praise him? This young man was not only walking, but the Bible says he was leaping. He was leaping, jumping and leaping and praising God. He was magnifying God and jumping and leaping. He wanted it to be known that where I was once, I am no longer there. And the Bible says, as you read it further down in this chapter, the verses, it said that the people knew. They knew that this was the young man that sat out there begging. They knew it. They saw his face. They knew what he dressed like. No doubt they knew what he smelled like. They knew what, how he carried himself, had the whole thing. They knew his mindset, his attitude, or his voice. They recognized all that. But to see him now from a place of sitting and begging and asking alms and talking to individuals, he came in and out of the temple, and they saw him from that pleasant state to now this same young man is leaping and praising God. He's walking and he's talking and he's magnifying God. Look at him jump. Look at him leap. Look at him praise God. You can't get him to be quiet because God had did something miraculous for him and brought him from that place of nothingness, from that place of doom to a place of hope, to a place of life, and giving him a new start, giving him a new place, a new start, a new chance. And we're grateful tonight. So on tonight, I want to encourage your heart. When God does something for you, it is impossible for us to sit quietly, for us to sit and pity-pat God and barely clap our hands and not even open our mouth. I'm asking God to help me. Y'all excuse me, but I'm asking God to help me, even help me, to help my mind, and not to focus or look at those people, because I see that on a regular basis. We go to church, and we praise God, and you hear somebody saying what God has done, or somebody else will tell the testimony of the other individuals. I remember when the Lord brought them out, and Sister So-and-so had this ailment, this Sister So-and-so was going through this, but God, look at her now, but God did this, and they won't even clap their hands, they won't even open their mouth and thank the Lord for what he's done. So it makes me wonder, did he really do what you're saying he did? Uh-huh. Because if he did it, there ought to be some evidence, there's got to be some signs, there's got to be some proof that he did it, and it not only is the healing there, but the proof is, look at how I'm acting. My attitude was once one way, but he changed and shifted my mindset. He shifted my attitude. He shifted my way of thinking because he did it, and there was no one else to do it. There was no one else possible that could do it. I'm used to the norm, people giving me alms, people stepping over me, people walking by me. I'm used to all that, but now these men have come and have given me something that the rest of the individuals, the people, couldn't give me. The rest of them didn't give me this. They didn't have it in them to give it to me because they can't give it. They didn't have it. And with, you can't give what you don't have. And when you come to Christ Jesus and the Lord does something for you that no one else does or can do, you ought to magnify the Lord. You ought to praise the Lord. You ought to open your mouth and give him the glory. You ought to be able to thank him. The Bible said he was leaping, walking, and praising God, to the point where the people saw him walking about. The people saw him praising God. They heard him praising God because he wanted them to know, look where the Lord has brought me from. Look, y'all know me. Y'all know where I was. You saw my condition. You saw my state of mind. You saw where I was. But look at me now. Look at me now. I have a right to praise God because I'm in no longer state. No more would anybody step over me and walk past me and walk by me. No longer would nobody turn their nose at me because God has done something for me. And I want you in the world to know, and those that hate on me, I want them to know that the Lord did it. So I encourage you tonight, whenever God does something, don't be ashamed to praise and magnify God. Don't be timid. Don't be mild and timid. Don't be complacent. We just pity Pat, but open your mouth, lift your voice, clap your hand, lift up your voice, even leap and run and walk just as this young man did to let the world know that Christ is the healer. He healed my body. He saved my soul. He delivered me. He brought me out. And watch what it'll do. Your testimony is going to encourage someone else. Your testimony is going to help someone else. God bless you on tonight in Jesus' name.